I'm thankful too. Thank you so much. Good song, and I appreciate the ministry and song. While you are finding Luke, hold your place in Ruth chapter 2. Find Luke 24. We'll read a verse there, and then we'll get back. While you're finding Luke 24, I want to say that one of the things that Brother Allen didn't say is that when I approached him and Brother Allen and Sherry, about this ministry, I'm 100% sure God laid it on my heart. We need to take care of our aged folks. Amen. And I just know that I know it's God's way, it's God's will, it's biblical. And we appreciate the aged folks. Those of you who classify yourself as aged, we appreciate you. And I mean that with all of my heart. And that's why we want to start the class. We're starting the class to give you opportunity to come out and to hear the word and to just spend time together. There's going to be some events. And I really appreciate it. The reason I chose Brother Allen and Sharon and Jimmy and Sherry to head this up is because God laid them on my heart. And I just know that I know that God will use them to spearhead this ministry, and it'll be a blessing. It'll be a blessing to the church, in particular to those of you who are in that category. And so we're all headed that way. Amen. Amen. Some folks say like it's like a bad thing to be 65 years old. Hey, if you live to 65, you ought to praise God for it. Amen. You say, well, I'm 75. Well, then you ought to praise God twice a day. So I'm 80. You ought to praise Him all day. Amen. Praise God. Listen, don't act like, you know, getting older in life is a drudgery and a dread. That's a blessing. It's a blessing. And so praise the Lord for the longevity of your life and make the most of it. And some of you are sitting here, you say, man, being 65, that's way down there. How many of you that 65 and older remember when you thought that? Raise your hand. Yeah, it don't take long, does it, folks? I'm telling you, listen, Mama told me. I'm telling you. And Mama probably told you too. Those old folks, listen, they know what they're talking about. It do us good to give ear. Listen up. Listen to Grandma. Amen. Grandma can teach you some stuff. Grandpa can teach you some stuff. That's right. And so don't you ever think, well, what do they know? Well, you'd be surprised what they know. You'd be surprised what they know. And so when they start talking, you need to kind of zip up and listen up and hear what they have to say. The Word of God has some things to say about that. Luke 24. And so I appreciate Brother Al and Sister Sharon, Brother Jimmy and Sister Sherry willing to head the ministry up. And I appreciate you that are going to be a part of this ministry. I appreciate you willing to allow God's people to minister to you. And it's going to be more than just classroom activity. We want to take care of our aged. We want to take care of our widows, our widowers. It's biblical. And so that's the thing that we're trying to do, is just, we just want to be a Bible-based church. We just want to stick with the Word. In Luke 24, look if you would, and I've mentioned this to you before, in verse number 25. But because of the context of the message tonight, I want to mention it to you again. In Luke 24, verse 25, then he, meaning Jesus, said unto them, the disciples on the road of Emmaus, he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And this is the verse I'm interested in right here. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. You know, that's quite a verse of scripture there. He began at Moses and in all the scriptures, he began to expound unto them the things concerning himself. Now, as we go back to the book of Ruth, chapter number 2, something tells me that this might have been part of the conversation. It's kind of hard to read the book of Ruth and not see Jesus in the book of Ruth. Matter of fact, when you look for him, Jesus is in all the Bible. He's in all the Word of God. And you say, well, I haven't found him in this section or this section. You will. Keep searching them scriptures. He's there. He's on every page of the scripture. I want you to give you a little backdrop. I'm going to talk to you tonight just for a little bit. I'm going to talk to you about God's amazing grace. We use that phrase and we sing that song. We quote the scripture. We've experienced, if you're saved, you have experienced God's amazing grace. And I just want to, by way of reminder, remind us, oh, how great a debtor. To grace, we are a great debtor. I think about the song that says, oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. Oh, the grace that brought it down to man. To grace, we are a great debtor. And I trust that I trust that we would live every day of our lives realizing we could never thank God enough. And I see in this chapter a young woman who got it. As a matter of fact, if you'll look in verse number 10, the scripture says that she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground and said unto him, this is she, Ruth, falling on the ground and said unto him, Boaz, you know what the name Boaz means? In him is strength. He's the kinsman, redeemer, that is kin to Elimelech, which means God is my king. And you know what she said to him when she bowed at his feet? She said, why have I found grace in thine eyes? Isn't that something? Look what else she said. That thou shouldest acknowledge me or take knowledge of me, seeing I am a stranger. See, Ruth realized who she was. She realized she shouldn't have been part of what was happening in her life. The problem with a lot of Christians today is they really don't understand some bridges that was crossed in order to get you in to the family of God. It's almost like we think God owed us something. You know, like we had this coming to us. We're Americans. God owed us grace. God owes us nothing. If we got what we were owed, we'd all be in hell. And we just really need to understand something about God's grace. And so I want to try to just, I've got a few words I want to just build some thoughts around. I hope you know the backdrop. That's why I asked Pastor David to read the entire chapter. This woman is in a new land now. She was probably going her way. She was bitter against life. She was lost. She had no knowledge, if any knowledge, about Israel. It was a dark knowledge. It's a knowledge that she couldn't stand them. They were her arch enemies, and she was looked out as a downcast and an outcast, and she couldn't stand that fact. And yet here comes this woman, here comes this family into town, and she ends up marrying one of their sons. I hope you've read chapter 1 over and over again. And when you read chapter 1, you cannot help but see a word we're going to talk about here in just a moment called the sovereignty of God. God is sovereign, brethren. God works things together. Think in your life. Listen, some people are so busy with life. Some people are so busy that they lose sight of God placing and putting pieces of the puzzle together to get you where He can bless you. And so here's this woman, and she's now in the land, and she had told, if you go back to chapter 1 sometime, don't do it now, but and you'll read verse 15, 16, and 17, you'll see where she says, you know what, I want your land to be my land, and I want your people to be my people, and I want your God to be my God. She saw something in her, and she said, that's what I want. That's what I want. So she ends up in the land, and then God really begins. All of this was orchestrated by God. The first word that I want you to notice is this. God's grace is a saving grace. I want you to notice what happens when she gets into the land. The latter part of verse number 1 says that they came to Bethlehem. You see that? In chapter number 1, in verse number 22, the last verse there says, they came to Bethlehem. And while they were there, the Bible says, Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. His name, of the family of Elimelech, and his name was Boaz, which means in him is strength. And so the Bible wants us to know that there's good going to come out of this. All right? There's this man, he is a very wealthy man. And he comes from a good pedigree. And the Bible wants us to know that in that land just so happened that he was a near kinsman, a kinsman redeemer of Naomi, in whom Ruth just so happened to have yoked up with when she was in Moab. Now she's back. And notice verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter." So here's this woman. Now I want you to think about this for a moment. She's pagan. All right? When she met this family, she was a pagan. She's not just a pagan. She was under a curse. She was condemned. These people were not even permitted by the law to even enter the land. And she was outside the covenant promise. She was outside the covenant people. She admitted in verse number 10 that I read in your hearing, she was a stranger, she said. And she was broken. She was hurting. She was weak. She was lost. She had lost her husband. She was just, nothing was going right. And then she says, I want to go out. And I just feel like I need to do what's right. I want to go out and I want to see if somebody in this old sin-cursed world can show me some grace. That's what she said. Look at verse number 2. She said, I want to go out and I want to see if I can find someone after him in whose sight I shall find grace. Is there somebody out there that'll have grace on me? Maybe there's somebody here tonight and you're wondering that same thing. Is there somebody that would show me grace? Not an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Not do unto me as I've done unto you. Render evil for evil. But is there somebody that will extend grace unto me? And the scripture says that when she went out looking for something. She was looking for something that she really had no idea. And so here's Ruth, and she's seeking something. All right, and she's seeking that saving grace, and she goes out, and the Bible says in verse number 3, now, don't misunderstand what's happening here, because the second word I want you to think about is sovereign grace, because this is where it happens right here. Look at verse number 3, and she went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap. That's a good word, amen. It doesn't mean just like a coincidence or perchance only. It does mean that, but it means this. When you look the word up, and I challenge you to do it, it means causative. In other words, it was perchance, but it has a cause connected to it. In other words, there was a reason she ended up in that field. All right? There was a reason she ended up in that field. And it's because she was seeking something. She wanted, there was something missing in her life, and there was someone missing in her life, and she said, I need help. I can't do this on my own. You know what? Until a person gets to that place, God's not going to do a whole lot for them. Until you get to the place of where you realize, I can't do this. I can't do this. There's got to be something outside of me. So many people, when they get to this place, they think, you know what? I'm going to turn over a new leaf, or I'm going to do better, or I'm going to quit this, or I'm going to start this. Some folks, they say, you know what? I'm going to start going down there to that church. I'm glad for that. But listen to me. Church has never gotten anyone to heaven. It's never gotten anyone. You need more than church. Amen. You need more than church. You need more than what you can do. You need more than what the preacher can do. You need more than what a Christian can do. You need what God can do in your life. And this lady here, and Ruth, she said, you know what? She said, I need something. I'm going to go out. I'm just looking for some grace. I believe there's a great big world out there that's just looking for grace. She didn't really know who she was looking for. She just knew what she was looking for. She didn't know she was looking for Boaz. She just knew she needed somebody to show her grace. Can I tell you, there was a time in my life I knew I needed something, but I didn't know what. I certainly didn't think it was Jesus. I didn't know much about Jesus. I'd heard his name. I knew a few things about him, but I had no idea. He was the answer. He was the answer. And God was orchestrating things in my life. I want you just to look at what happens here. Look at this word hap. And the scripture says in verse number 3, and her hap was to light on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz. I'm just going to give you a few steps. I want you just to follow now of how God got Ruth right here. All right? So in chapter 1, Ruth is in Moab, kind of minding her own business. And here comes this family in. This family didn't just decide to get up and move. There was a famine in the land. And that moved them to there, and Ruth meets this family and ends up marrying one of their sons. She's probably thinking, we're just going to stay here the rest of our life and live happily ever after. And then Elimelech dies, and the two sons die. Now it's Ruth and her mother-in-law and her sister-in-law. You know the story, right? And she's probably thinking, what are we going to do now? And then there was news came. You listening? News came from Bethlehem. God's blessing Bethlehem. His people are getting fed. And Naomi said, I'm going back. And Ruth said, well, I want to go too. And Naomi said, no, you go back. You stay. We're here with your people. You know about the story of her and Orpah, right? And Ruth said, no, I'm going. And she clave to her, right? She clave to her and said, I'm going. And that's when she made that great proclamation. Amen. I want your people to be my people. And I want your God to be my God. I'm going back. I've seen some things that I'm hungering for more. I want to go back. I've heard some things. I've heard of a place where God is blessing people. And some things I've heard about this God, I want to know more about this God. I can remember my own life when God, you can too, when God put people in the pathway of your life that kind of whet your appetite a little bit and got you to thinking along those things. Maybe it was a gospel tract. Maybe it was a neighbor. Maybe it was a preacher who stopped by your house or a Christian out soul winning. Maybe it's somebody that you just met, a stranger out at a convenience store, and they handed you a gospel tract. That's what happened here. She gets back, and I want you to notice this. Look at the time she got back. Please don't think this is coincidence. Again, go back to chapter 1, verse 22. And the Bible says they came back to Bethlehem. But it wasn't just any time. When they got back there, the Bible says it was in the beginning of barley harvest. Now, guess who owns the field? God is orchestrating things for Ruth to meet Boaz right away. Okay? See, God's working this out. God's working behind the scenes. And then the scripture says in verse number 1 that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. It's not enough that he was just a kinsman and they owned a little property. This was a mighty man of wealth. And here's Boaz, who was a man full of strength. That means he can get the job done. And God said, I'm going to put you in contact with this person. Brethren, if we would just look back over our life, we see little girls that'll come where, listen, the devil meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Little girls will visit your house with their daddy and tell you about Jesus. Are you listening to me? There will be people that will hand you a gospel tract that you've thought, well, I didn't know that person was even a Christian, or I've never met this person. There will be somebody, God just puts people in the pathway of our life and he begins to move. Why? Because God is sovereign. You have to understand this. Please don't think, you know, I was just kind of going through life and all of a sudden I got tired of life and I said, I'm going to seek God. You sought God because God is sovereign and he whet your appetite and he put people in the pathway of your life and he so orchestrated your life and my life that he caused us to want to seek him. Amen. Amen. No man seeketh God except God initiate the work. But if we're not careful, we'll say, you know what? I got tired of my sin and I just decided I was going to seek God. You have a very shallow view of what took place in your life. And I'm trying to help you to see there is a grace called sovereign grace where God was working behind the scenes, orchestrating things, putting pieces together to get you to the field where he could bless you and introduce himself to you. So we have, first of all, we have this woman who is crushed and she's cursed and she's hurt, and she's weak, and she needs something and someone outside of herself. And just so happened that this mother-in-law of hers, her husband, who is no longer alive, has a near kinsman who is a mighty man of wealth, and he's a strong man, and he owns some things. He's going to be able to help her. And then we find sovereign grace. And so she went into the fields. Now, I want you to understand what's happening here in this section of scripture. In verse number 3, it says that when she came and gleaned in the field after the reapers, as her hat was to light, on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. All right, now there's not a doubt in my mind this is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's happening here? What do you mean go out in the fields? What do you mean, you know, gather and reap? Well, God had, and I want you to listen carefully so you don't misunderstand what I'm getting ready to say here. God had a welfare system of sorts. Now, when you think of welfare, don't think of today's welfare, okay? Because then you won't get the picture. God's welfare was to see that people fared well. And so what he did is he said, here's what I want you to do. And you can find this in the book of Leviticus, and you can find it in the book of Deuteronomy. He said, what I want you to do is when you're gleaning the fields, he said, when you have fields and you're gleaning the fields, I want you to leave behind some leftovers so that a certain group of people can benefit from it. And if you look at those certain group of people, it was the fatherless, it was the widows, it was the strangers, and it was the poor and needy. God said, I want them to benefit from it. And he said, I want to teach you that everything I give to you is not for you. Did you get what I just said? America has a hard time with this. As a whole now, I don't mean everyone, all Americans, but as a whole, Americans believe, well, everything that comes to me is for me. No, God sometimes not wants to give to you, he wants to give through you. And you need to learn the difference, and I need to learn the difference. Don't you think because you possess it, God wants you to keep it. Sometimes God will give to me to give through me so I can give to someone else and use me to be a blessing to others, and I can receive a blessing. And so here is Ruth, and Ruth's going to go to this field. And when she gets to this field, this system is in place. She's a stranger in the land. She's needy. And so she got to the field, and she starts gleaning the field. She starts picking up the leftovers when she's in the field. Now, I want you to watch this. I'm still talking about sovereign grace. Just look what happens in verse number 4. Ruth, it was her half in verse number 3, the light on that part of the field belonging unto Boaz. Verse number 4, and behold, in other words, well, would you look there? That's what the Bible says. Would you look there? Here comes Boaz. He's visiting the field about the time that Ruth gets there. Well, what about that? What a coincidence. That's not a coincidence. That's God again orchestrating things so that Ruth could have an encounter with Boaz. Do you remember how God orchestrated things in your life so you could have an encounter with Jesus? Brethren, I'm talking to you about sovereign grace. Please don't think, and again, I can't overemphasize this, don't think, well, you know what, I decided I was going to do this, and I decided I was going to do this, and I went here, and I done this, and I done that. God was behind the scenes arranging it all. Amen. Now, you had decisions to make, but please don't think that these things just popped up in your mind and you said, well, I think I'm going to do this without God moving and orchestrating and setting the stage to bring you to a place where you could be introduced to his grace. The scripture says this in verse number 4, and behold, Boaz came from Bethlehem and said unto the reapers, the Lord be with you. And they answered him, the Lord bless thee. Now, this is not part of the message, but I do want to say this. Our master is a tremendous master. Amen. You know, I just believe if you run a business, you ought to run it this way right here. I do. I believe it, that when you walk in, if you're a supervisor, if you're a foreman, if you're the owner of a business, when you walk in, you ought to say, the Lord be with you. And you ought to have such a relationship with those people that they ought to answer back and say, the Lord bless thee. Amen. This is the way it ought to be. Now, that's not the message. But we ought to be peacemakers. Well, as much as within us, we ought to live peaceably with all men. We ought to bless people and we ought to be fair with people. And this is what the scripture's teaching. When Boaz walked in, there wasn't a bunch of whispering and murmuring. No, no. Boaz had a good testimony. And Boaz was a good leader. And Boaz was a good owner. He's a good man to work for. Amen? You know what I'm talking about? I hope you do. You'll never find anyone better to work for than Jesus Christ. You'll never find anyone. Never. He is so gracious. He is so kind. He is so patient. He is so understanding. He will bless you beyond measure if you will work for him. The scripture says in verse number 5, then said Boaz unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? Now we're going to move unto seeking grace. Okay? I want you to notice what happens when Ruth gets to the field. Think about your own life. All right? So here you are and you start hearing some things about this Boaz. And the scripture says in verse number 5, then Boaz said unto a servant that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? See, Ruth didn't know, but Boaz knew everything about her when he spoke to her. We'll see this in just a moment. The servant in verse number 6 said over to the reapers, that was set over the reapers, answered and said, it is the Moabitish damsel that came back with Naomi out of the country of Moab. And he gave her the background. He gave Boaz the background on Ruth. And then Boaz said, look at verse 8, unto Ruth. He initiated conversation with Ruth. Remember when God did that for you? Oh, I remember. I remember the first clear time that God initiated conversation with me. The first clear time now, and I mean clear, when I knew I'm lost. I didn't get saved that night. There was an old fella that my sister had been dating named Gary. And he was a wild child. I mean, he was a wild fella. And he came down to the place where I was working, and I went over and talked to him a little bit, and I could tell there's something different about Gary. I mean, there was something different about him. And he began to tell me about Jesus, and I was ready to get up, and I was ready to go back to work in a hurry. Now, it was late, and I was ready to, but he wrote down some scripture on the napkin. He pulled a napkin out of the napkin dispenser, and he said, Dale, he said, you know, and he just was really pleading with me. I was a young man, probably 16, 17 years old, and he was really pleading with me, and he said, this is serious stuff here. And he said, you know, I remember him telling me, Jesus saved me, got all teary-eyed, and I thought, man, Gary's done flipped his lid, you know, I mean, I really thought that. Man, this guy's done gone crazy. But when I got up from that booth, I went back and worked for about 30 more minutes, closed down, went home. And when I got home, I remember searching my pocket because I told him, I promised him that I was going to read those scripture. And I had left that napkin in my apron. I worked for a restaurant, and I left that napkin in my apron, and I didn't have it with me. We had an old family Bible that was under the coffee table there. That's what we called them, coffee table. Under the coffee table there, the old family Bible's got all the records in it. So I pulled it out. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. And I pulled it out, and I'm trying to find it. And I said, well, I'll just start here. And I started in Genesis 1:1. I didn't know, okay? And so I heard my stepfather. Now, you'd have, my stepfather was he was a gruff man, okay? He said, what the is he doing in there? Because I was making all kinds of noise, you know, trying to find it and knocking stuff over. And so my mother comes in there, and it's in the living room. And she comes in there. She said, boy, I remember standing at this. She said, boy, what are you doing? I said, I'm searching for something in the Bible. And I kid you not. She said, what? I said, I'm searching for something in the Bible. I met Gary tonight, you know, Jane's old boyfriend. And he told me some things about the scripture or something. And I just wanted to look them up. It really got me thinking about some things. But I'm going to tell you, the devil, he got me distracted. And me and my mom had this conversation, my stepfather. And it just didn't end well. But I'm glad God didn't give up on me. I'm glad God didn't give up on me. See, God works that way, brethren. God brought that man there. I'm 100% sure of it. God caused that conversation to happen. God orchestrated that, trying to introduce me to Jesus. But I realized that night, I'm lost. There's something missing in my life. I don't have what Gary has. It might have been the first time in my life that I really realized that there is something missing in my life. Now, there were other encounters, and I could go down through here, and I'm not going to because of time. So, long story short, seeking grace. Look, if you would. Then said Boaz in verse number 8, unto Ruth, hearest thou not, my daughter? Go not to glean in another field, neither go from hence, but abide here fast by my maidens. Let thine eyes be on the field that they do reap, and go thou after them. Have I not charged the young men that they should not touch thee? And when thou art athirst, go into the vessels and drink of that which the young men have drawn. Now, this is satisfying grace. I want to show you what God does here. After Ruth begins to search, the scripture says that Boaz comes and he introduces himself and he begins to initiate conversation with her. And I want you to notice what he tells her. He said, I'm all you need. I'm everything you've been searching for. That's the message. If you'll read this message, I'm not going to read it all. I encourage you, read this message. Boaz tells Ruth, I'm everything you're searching for. You won't need another field. You won't need anything else. You've got everything you need right here. Let's look at a few questions that he asked her. He said, first of all, he said, are you thirsty? I've got something that'll quench your thirst. That's what he told her. Let me find it here. I think it's in verse number 9. He said, and when thou art athirst, right in the middle, he said, go into the vessels and drink that which the young men have drawn. He said, I've got water drawn for you. You're thirsty? You come to me. I'll quench your thirst. Amen? Amen. Then he said this. Notice if you would down in verse number 14. And he said unto her, are you hungry? Are you hungry? He said, I've got a meal prepared for you. And he says, as a matter of fact, at mealtime in verse number 14, he said, you come on down and sit at the table. And if you'll notice, she sat beside the reapers. Notice what happened. He reached her parched corn, and she did eat. He fed her. Amen. I mean, here's Boaz. He's taking care of Ruth. Can I tell you, Jesus take care of you. He's all we need, brethren. The longer I serve Jesus, the more I realize he's all I need. Jesus is all I need. The grace of God is sufficient. Paul's right. Amen. It's sufficient. I don't know what your need is. I don't know where you are in life, but I'm here to tell you Jesus is all you need. You get to Jesus. I'm telling you right now, if you'll get to Jesus, Jesus will meet your need. You say, well, I need Jesus and. Oh, no. Oh, no. There was a time in my life when I was saved, and I used to think it's Jesus and. But it's been some time now that I've realized it's Jesus only. Amen. He's all that I need, brethren. He's all that I need. He's all you need, too. He's all you need. He'll meet every need you have. And he said, are you hungry? He said, I'll feed you. He said, are you thirsty? He said, I'll quench your thirst. He said, are you searching for something? He said, I'll satisfy you. Look at the last part of verse number 14. She did eat and was sufficed and left. That means satisfied. Aren't you glad that God's grace is a satisfying grace? I want you to just look right up here at me, and I want to tell you something. I think you know this. I hope everyone in here can say this. I'm not sure that we can. You're looking at a man that has never been dissatisfied with Jesus. Never. Jesus has always met my need. Oh, I've let him down, but he has never let me down. Amen. Never. That's my testimony. Amen. My Lord has never let me down. Amen. Never. Amen. He's given me to drink when I was thirsty. Amen. He's given me to eat when I was hungry. Amen. And when I was not satisfied and my soul was searching, he satisfied my soul. Amen. He's all that I need, brethren. Amen. He's all that I need. He's all you need, too. And that's really, when you read chapter 2 with that in mind, if you'll put yourself in Ruth's shoes, you'll find out this woman was getting her need met to the maximum. She had no idea when she went out to that field. She thought, this is going to be hard. I'm going to have to work and do this and that. And my goodness, she met this wealthy, strong man who was a kinsman redeemer. And then, little did Ruth know, and this just dawned on me when I was reading this evening. Little did Ruth know, when she was working in that field, I'm going to own this field one day. Are you listening to me? Do you understand what I'm saying? That's just a little nugget that God gave me. Ruth's working in a field of Boaz's, but one day she's going to be married. She's going to own that field. Are you listening? Can I tell you, we're going to own this place. Hey, man. We're going to rule and what? Reign with him for 1,000 years. And some of us, listen, he's going to make governors over cities. You understand that? This is real, you see. This old world thinks, well, we get rid of these old Christians. What do they know? Well, we know we're going to own this place one day. Amen. Now, God's going to clean it up and renovate it for us. Hey, that's right. You say, I don't know if I believe that or not. Oh, you're missing out. You're missing out. This is reality. So here's Ruth going out thinking, well, if I could just find grace and go out of here, I'm going to work hard in somebody's field. I just want to work hard in somebody's field to get something. And little did she know, she's going to meet somebody who's going to marry her and say, work in this field, my eye, you're going to own this field. I'm telling you, brethren, God revealed it to me a long time ago. I can remember it like it was yesterday. Riding down the road, and God dawned on my soul, boy, you got into something big here. I'm still discovering it. I'm in something big. This thing called Christianity is something big. I'm not talking about something that's hid over in the corner of the world somewhere. This is worldwide. This is impacting lives all around the world. Has been, is, and will be. I'm not going to shut this operation down. Say, well, we're going to shut Christians down. Yeah, folks have been saying that for years. You're not going to shut this operation down. Are you listening to me? We're going to shut God's people down. We're going to trample out Israel. How's that working? Not going to shut this operation down either. You're not going to shut down God's work. Now, if it's man's work, it'll come to naught. Isn't that what the Word says? But if it's God's work, it's not coming to naught. It's going to move forward. I'm talking to you tonight about grace. Grace. The grace of God that saves us. The grace of God that is sovereign, that puts the pieces together to make our lives productive, to make us all that we could and should be for the Lord. The grace of God that is seeking. The grace of God that is satisfying. Then I'm going to close with this. The grace of God that is securing. I want you to notice in verse number 12, the scripture says this. The Lord recompensed thy work. This is Boaz talking to Ruth. He said, the Lord recompensed thy work and a full reward be given thee of the Lord, God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. I'm under his wing. You are too. I'm under the shadow of the Almighty. I'm protected. I'm preserved. I'm not pickled. You know the difference between pickled and preserved, don't you? Preserved just gets getting sweeter. Amen. I'm preserved. You are too if you're saved. There's no such thing as being saved and then being lost. There's no such thing as that. We're protected. I'll close with this. When Ruth went back, she told Naomi, and you can read it in verses 20 through 23, or 19 through 23. She went back and Naomi basically said, wow, where was you gleaning today? She said, I found this field over here, Boaz, on. You know, she said, wow, you know, you've been blessed. Can I tell you that through the years, I can't tell you how many people that have told me, it's almost word for word, what Naomi told Ruth. Dale Freeman, is that you? Man, what's going on? And I tell her, I said, God's been blessing me. And I can tell. God's blessed you. I can tell. Amen. You know, but they don't mean it that way. I don't think they do. Maybe they do. Man, God's blessed you. And I begin to tell them how God's blessed. I said, yeah, I believe that. I know folks have done that to you. You start telling them about your family and what God is doing in your family and how things are going. They say, my, God's really blessed you. Right? Yeah. That's exactly what happened here. And then this is what Naomi says. She said, now, Ruth, and this is my final word. I'm going to give you this as a final word. I'm going to tell you what Naomi told Ruth. Don't leave him. Did you get that when Pastor David was reading it? Don't leave him. Stick by him. You're into something good. Let's read it together. That's exactly what she told him. You don't need anyone else. You stick by him. You're into something good. You chose the right one. Look at verse number 20. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath not left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, you know, that man is near kin unto us. He's one of our next kinsmen. Man, we got it good. Look at verse number 21. And Ruth the Moabite said, he said unto me also, thou shalt keep fast by my young men until they have ended all my harvest. And Naomi said unto Ruth, her daughter-in-law, it is good, my daughter, that thou go out with his maidens, that they meet thee not in any other field. Don't you go out with anybody else, and don't you go to any other field. You stick with him. Amen. 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 You stick with him. You got the good stuff. Amen. You got the right one. Is that what she's saying? Amen. That's what she's saying. And that's the message to you. Don't you leave him now. You say, well, preacher, can I leave him? Well, you can leave the Lord. You can apostatize. You can backslide. You can go your own way. Now, God will correct you because you're his child. And you'll miss the blessing. You'll miss the blessing. What did Ruth do? What you should do. Verse 23 says, so she kept fast by the matings of Boaz to glean unto the end of the barley harvest to the wheat harvest and dwelt with her mother-in-law. She stayed with him to the end of the harvest. One day this harvest is going to end, brethren. It is. This old day of harvest, this day of grace, the days of reaping, it's going to end. And we're going to check out of here. But until then, don't you leave him now. Don't leave him. Amen. His grace has been sufficient, and his grace will see us home. Amen. You're in the right place. You're with the right one. Right?
Amen.
Amen. Don't you let anybody tell you any different. Now, young people, I want you to, particularly as we stand to our feet, I want you to listen to me. Throughout my Christian experience, there's been a lot of Johnny-come-latelys try to come along and try to get me to turn my attention from the field that I'm working in and the Boaz that I'm serving. And there'll be somebody try to get you to do it too. You listening? They're liars. They're deceivers. Brother Larry in the back was telling me about that word deception. He said it's like the word at the root of it means a blanket. And that's exactly what it is. They try to blanket the truth. And so you listen to me now. There'll be many come along, and they'll try to get you to leave the field and to leave Boaz and to go another direction. They'll say, oh, there's something better. Can I tell you? If you're saved, it doesn't get any better than that.
Amen.
If you're serving Jesus, you can't improve on that. There's nothing greater you can do with your life than to serve Jesus with it. You say, well, it's not working for me. You're not doing it right. When you serve him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. If you'll love him and serve him, you'll be blessed beyond measure. Let's bow our heads together. This is the message that God's laid on my heart as the piano begins to play. I wonder when's the last time you, me, any of us have just knelt on our face before God like Ruth and say, Lord, what have I done being a stranger? What have I done to deserve this grace? Why are you being so good to me? What have I done to get your favor in my life? I'm so glad God's good to me. And I'm glad God's good to you. And I trust that you realize it now. You realize, say, well, preacher, I'm going through a hard time. Well, you know, there's a lot of things in that sovereign grace. God will use hard times to bring you to a place where he can bless you. He did Ruth. And he will you. God uses scripture to communicate with us. God uses servants to communicate his grace to us. But God will use suffering too. Okay? So please don't forget that. Just because you're going through a hard time doesn't mean God is angry at you. Doesn't mean God is cursing you. It may mean that God is positioning you so he can bless you. And so don't misinterpret the hard times of life. Please, don't do that. If you're here tonight and you've never experienced the grace of God, you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, how I pray that tonight you would right now bow your head and invite Jesus into your heart and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I heard the preacher mention that and I realize I'm a sinner. I've broken your law. I've transgressed the law. I know I've sinned against you and I'm sorry. And I want to invite you to come into my life and save me. Because I believe that Jesus died for my sin and was buried and rose again. Save me for Christ's sake. If you'll pray with sincerity and ask Jesus to save you, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.